Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Welcome, everyone. It's that time again, Living the Good Life, right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad to be with you today, as always, even though it's pouring down rain in Clearwater, Florida today. But you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We need the rain, and we need the rain of the Holy Ghost. We so do. Oh, hallelujah. One of you's on the phone, Betty or Megan. Which one are you?
Hey, Pastor, it's Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hi, darling. I'm great.
Good to have you on today. I'll tell you, it is bad weather. I hope the weather improves before your mom gets here next week, because it's been raining today. So,
anything is better than what we got up here, Pastor.
Do you have snow?
8 inches of snow, and we got 5 to 10 coming. So, rain is better than this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that snow. Boy, that's crazy. She got more coming in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So if any of you are up there, shout out to you if you're listening.
Yep.
And, yeah, this is it's been quite a rainy day, which does not happen to us very often that it rains all day. So, but that's all right. And got to tell y'all, Dr. Angel and I were so blessed to be with the McKays last night. In the very, very special service up in Tarpon Springs, where Dr. Rebecca, who was just here on before us, debuted her new album. And she is gifted, Megan, with an amazing voice. And
she
is sitting right now at the table in the studio signing a picture for me of her. And let me tell you, when that woman opened her mouth last night and began to sing and began to shout God's praise and preach a little and talk a little and sing a little, I tell you what, all heaven came down in that big church. Thank you, Dr. McKay.
God.
You are so sweet. Thank you very, very much. Love it. And this new album is just out. And Saturate Me and Man on Fire are the first two songs that she's debuting right now. And Chip Collins, who's always on before us doing the shows for several hours here on Sundays, has been playing her new stuff, and it's just great. So, Dr. McKay, it was wonderful being with you last night. God bless you. Love you very much. And we're looking forward to doing a service with that lovely congregation sometime. We're going to do it. So, anyway, so that's where we were last night, Megan, Dr. Angel and I. And we had a couple others from our church that were going to go, and then sickness prevailed. So it is what it is. But we had a great time, and we were very glad we were there. So
praise God.
Yeah. God's moving, Megan. He's so moving in our lives. You know, there's so much going on. And I'm sure there are in your home church up there in Byron Center, right? Byron Center?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's it.
God's moving up there, too. So
He is.
It's going to be a great show today. Is your mama coming on at some point?
Yeah, she was having trouble. Her cell phone doesn't let her dial to, like, how she has it set, a SendTalk dial-in. She has to dial it by hand. So she just texted me to make sure that that was the right number. So she should be calling in any minute.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so let's begin today with praying and giving God the glory and praise for a great show as we were. We will get started here. God bless every one of you for listening. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you from the bottom of our hearts for what you have planned for today, for each of us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that never, ever leaves us or forsakes us. We thank you, God, that you love every one of us so very much. And we thank you, Lord, for the way you're moving in us and among us. So, Lord, we trust you for a dynamic show today that will bless hearts, that will encourage people, that will cause them to remember just how great you are, because you are the awesome, wonderful, amazing, omnipotent, omniscient, all of it, everything that you are, God. We just love you so much. You are all of that and so much more. So we give you the glory and praise for a great time together today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, the pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. And Megan Kramer is here on the air with me. And now her mama is joining us. And there you go. Is that you, Betty?
That's me.
All right. Mama, daughter. And many of you have heard me tell that they, along with Megan's dad, Betty's husband, came to Cornerstone, to our church, so many years ago. And we've been fast friends ever since. And you were a vital, active part of the ministry, even though little Megan was only 9 years old at the time, about the same age as some of my kids. Long time ago, Betty, our kids are grown. Can you believe it?
You know, time has really flown by.
it does, doesn't it?
Kind of just keeps on going, you know?
Really, I hear you. Yep, and, you know, I can't wait till you get down here, Betty. You're coming next week, and we've got a lot of good fun planned, and hopefully weather will be good, and just some great times in God with God, and just a lot of good things to do as you're down here next week. We're really looking forward to having you live on the air with us 2 weeks from today. And Megan will join us on that show, too. So we got a lot to look forward to. And Betty, I don't know if you heard me tell about last night, but it was an amazing night with the McKays up in the church in Tarpon Springs. Glorious, glorious night. We'll talk more about that another time. But, you know, our prayers go out for Brother George, who's ill today, overworked himself with all the preparations of that big wonderful thing that happened last night and all the churches involved, and we were just glad to be a part of that. So we look forward to a great day today. We're in the book of Joshua. The series we're in is called Promised Land, and there's so many deep truths in Joshua chapter 4 and 5 where we're going to be today. If you have your Bible and a notebook, you may want to tag along there and take some notes. So Betty and Megan, when we look at all the ways that God continues to bless our lives, this daily walk with him, it's just wonderful, isn't it? Betty, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, every day is a walk with Jesus.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Without him walking, you know, beside us, in front of us, and behind us, I don't know where I would be
exactly.
If I didn't have him.
Yes.
You know, we go through storms, you know, sometimes we're on the mountain, sometimes we're in the valley, and he's just so, he's just always with us. He's
Amen.
Always, he takes care of us. I mean, there's times, you know, I know he takes care of us that we don't even know, you know, that he even intervened for us. So, you know, every day for me is, you know, just another walk with Jesus. Just awesome.
Do you remember the little song we used to sing in Sunday school years ago? Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. Do you remember that? It's an
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that's clear back when you and I were in Sunday school, you know, because since you are as old as dirt, that's a long time ago, right?
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
true.
Yeah.
I brush off the dust and you picked it up.
Woo! With that zinger, that's more to come. We have Casting Crowns, Thrive. Love this song.
Worn and weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst.
Doesn't want us to just survive, people. No matter what's going on in your life right now, God wants you to learn to thrive in the midst of the situation. Megan, so often we get so discouraged with our problems and things that seem difficult for us, yet God wants to teach us through those difficult moments. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, it's right. And, you know, a lot of us let our problems control us.
Yes.
And when we should look at the situation and say, no, God, I'm giving this to you, and I'm going to choose to thrive
yes.
in this situation instead of laying down and, you know, trying to hide.
Right.
No, give it to him and watch through the process how he comes in and takes over and things work out for his glory.
And that is so true. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses, because we know that. It starts out, Paul says, and we know that God causes all things. So even when you're in the midst of one of life's really difficult moments, you can be assured that God's going to get some good out of that. You're going to get some good out of that. Right, Betty? It's not... We get so worried about the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? We let the devil just mess with our minds, and we've got to stop doing that. Betty, talk to us.
Well, that's why it's so important that we all get into the Word. And it's just not reading it. It's letting it get down into our heart.
Amen, amen, amen.
And it's so important to understand that if God is for us, who can be against us? And it becomes so in repetition. You keep reading the Bible, what goes in comes out. And that's what we have to focus on, is getting the Word inside of us, letting that living water flow through us, so that we, you know, because God wants us to prosper. He wants so much for His kids to be in good health and to prosper. And that's why, you know, when
Amen.
The Casting Crown song is, we have to do more than just survive.
Yes.
God made us to thrive.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have goals. We have things that, you know, we set for ourselves. You know, we've got a race to run. And that's why we've just got to keep, you know, we've got to keep going. We've got to, you know,
Amen.
Don't let the enemy intervene. Don't let him get to your mind.
Right.
You know, because, you know, he's the enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
And God, again, God wants us to just not survive, but to thrive.
To thrive. And when we're talking about thriving, we're not talking about just existing. We're talking about living above our circumstances. Remember in Ephesians 1, Paul says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. People, you have authority. I was quoting this verse this morning. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you power and authority to tread. That is to walk all over and defeat, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And those words in the original Greek talk about evil words and evil actions. When the devil throws evil actions at you or evil words through somebody, you have the ability to use your God-given authority. And Jesus said again there in Luke 10:19, and that I have given you power and authority to tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you. So when these problems arise, like we've been talking about, when the children of Israel got to the Jordan River, that was harvest time, and the water, the river was overflowing its banks, and they had seen 40 years before how God had parted the Red Sea. But it had been 40 years since they had seen a miracle that big. And they get to the Jordan River, and it takes faith to believe that God is going to get them across that river that was absolutely overflowing its banks. And yet we saw in Joshua chapter 3 that that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And God told Joshua to tell the people that when the soles of the priests touched the edge of the river, carrying that Ark of the Covenant, that they would see what God was going to do. And he did. He parted those waters. And I mentioned this morning, and one of our people who has a graphic design company was talking about having a sweatshirt or a shirt that said this. The last four words in the Message Bible of Joshua chapter 3. Well, let me read the whole verse, okay? I think that will help you. Verse 17, Joshua chapter 3. And there they stood, those priests carrying the chest of the covenant stood firmly planted on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground, about 2 million people approximately. Finally, the whole nation was across the Jordan, and here's the last four words of chapter 3 of Joshua. Not one wet foot. Pretty cool, right? Not one wet foot. So, Megan, that's just talking about how great was this miracle. There wasn't even one of them that had to step in mud. They walked on dry ground. Woo! That's enough to get excited about.
Absolutely it is, Pastor, because that shows the power of God.
Oh, doesn't it? Yes.
He made that water. He made that mud. He made those rocks. He made those people. And when he shows up, he has the power to do anything.
That's right. And so often we limit him by our expectations, right? We do not expect the miracle. Human nature does not expect God to move in our situation. You know why? Because we're just blinded so often by the negativity of the devil. who says, oh, that can't happen, or, oh, this is terrible, you poor thing. And we get off into feeling sorry for ourselves and thinking that nothing's ever going to change. And when we do that, we are playing into the hands of our enemy, the devil. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, and a lot of times when we get into that, in that place where we feel like that things are immovable, is that our faith begins to fail.
And right, once, yes.
Once our faith begins to fail, that gives the devil an open door to come in and destroy us.
That's exactly right.
That's why it is so important to realize is that, you know, God has given us, not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Amen.
And when he says sound mind, that means that we have to take the first step and to say, okay, God, I need you. I want you to help me with this situation. Because I think a lot of times our ego gets in the way that we think, you know, we can handle all things. Well, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
So that's why it's important that when we encounter a mountain or we encounter something that is immovable and we just don't see our miracles, is that we have to believe by faith that God is going to move on our behalf and we will see that miracle. It may not happen when we want it to. It will happen when God sees it through.
Amen.
Because a lot of times I think that if he was to rush things, because a lot of times when we don't see things immediately, it's a growing process.
Sure.
It's an attitude of, okay, you know, if God just gave us everything we wanted immediately, I'll just take myself for an example, is that I wouldn't be as appreciative.
Right, sure.
I don't know how to say it. I guess I would feel like that. I feel spoiled anyway because God has really blessed me. But I think that, again, a growing process, a chance to step out of our comfort zone and to be able to trust and believe in Almighty God.
Oh, amen. And God continually gives us those opportunities to believe him, you know? And when we least expect it, something happens. Hebrews 11:6 says this in the NIV, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God, okay? Because we all want to please God, don't we? I mean, I think we do. We should. We should want to please him. And this scripture is so good. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we talked about this verse this morning in my sermon at Beacon because it is so foundational to everything that we believe. We first got to believe that God is. God is what? God is all I need. He's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is my Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is my Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness, and on and on and on, my shalom. God is all he is. God is. And then the second part of that is he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And here we have Joshua and the children of Israel seeking God and wanting to move into the promised land as they were directed and told hundreds of years before that they would receive this promised land. So, Megan, it's so cool to know that we can please God as we continually build our faith. It pleases God for us to be people to listen to the show right now, get their faith up. It pleases God that as we talk right here on the air, our faith is building. Mine is. I feel it going up. You know what I'm saying, Meg?
I do. It makes your flame brighter.
There you go.
If that makes any sense.
Sure.
It does.
Because sure.
When we are, and I call this walk of life, it's like training for a marathon.
Of course.
You can't sit on the couch.
No.
And be a successful Christian. You
right.
can't do it. You can't
right.
sit back and not have an active role.
Mm-hmm.
Because where is the point in rewarding you for not participating?
Right.
That's how I look at it. Because we have you know, all it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And people, that's tiny. Just a little, just a little bit. And you have to believe that God is for real. God created the earth and everything around us, and that Jesus died on the cross.
Right.
You have to believe in something you can't see.
Right.
But there is proof of all of the wondrous miracles, and that's what's in the Bible.
Oh, amen. And that's why we're even studying this series right now, because it's a faith builder for us. Promised land. God has more for you, dear Christian listening out there, and dear individual, wherever you might be around this globe. God has more for you than you have ever experienced as to this up till this moment. God wants to. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God says, hey, seek me and look what you're going to find. You're going to find more peace than you've ever known, more joy, more love, more ability to handle situations. You're going to be in a place of more calm and more dependence on God as we seek him. Now we see Joshua and the children of Israel. They have just crossed over the Jordan River, but the priests are still standing there in the middle as we begin Joshua chapter 4. And God tells Joshua to choose one leader out of each tribe. So 12 people, 12 men. And he said, for you guys, come down to the middle of the Jordan River where the priests were still standing with the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence right there in the middle of the Jordan on dry ground. Remember, not one wet foot, right? So that's where the priests were standing. God told Joshua, tell these 12 leaders to come down here to that place and find a big rock, a big stone, as a memorial to what God had done. And he said, you know, put that up on your shoulder. So we're not talking about the guys were not instructed to pick up little pebbles. They were instructed to pick up great big stones, okay, as a memorial to what God had done, this miracle. In other words, a memorial souvenir. I remember when I was a little kid, before we went to the mission field, when I was 11, my parents would always take my sisters and I on vacations, different places. They didn't have hardly any money. They were pastors, but, you know, we would go to these little places, and I remember getting little tiny souvenirs. You remember, Betty, back when we, little souvenirs from Niagara Falls or just different places where we'd go on vacation. And I cherish those. In fact, I've recently found a little pouch of mine that has some of those in it. You know, those little memorials from those vacations back with mom and dad so long ago in the 57 Chevy turquoise and white Bel Air, you know. Can't you just picture that? And no seatbelts, of course. That was way before seatbelts. I don't know how we survived, Betty. We just threw our kids in the car, you know. I don't know.
I think it was the mom extension hand across the seat that saved a lot of us, or, you know, when we were in the laying in the back, or in the back window.
Right, the back window.
Kind of on the platform,
yes.
And then dad is, you know, he's playing on the brakes, and you go flying, up
yes.
into the seat. And it's like,
no seatbelts.
Pretty cool. Can we do it again?
Yeah, can we do it again? I hear you. But you know, those little souvenirs were really important. And I, you know, when I look at them now, you know, I don't want to get rid of them. They were just precious to me back then, right? And so here we have a real life situation like this, a souvenir, a memorial stone that God told Joshua to tell every leader of the tribes to go pick out one. And then they were supposed to pick them out right near the spot where the priests were standing with the Ark of the Covenant. That's very important because this is a memorial of God's presence. It was his presence in the middle of that dry ground in the Jordan River that they were remembering and marking for all eternity that this had happened. And they did that. In the beginning part of Joshua 4, they go there, and these 12 people, and they pick up these great big stones, and they take them back, and they build a memorial. Talk to me about this, Megan. I love this concept.
Well, you know, Pat, it's not just something that they marked in a moment of time, but it's also something that gives our human mind something to remember about, specific about that event.
Yes.
That those stones were just more than stones. Those stones held something miraculous from that moment in time. And that's something that those people, I'm sure, never, ever forgot, because what they saw happen before their eyes would have been something I can't even fathom what it would be like to see that occur. It would take my breath away.
Amen.
Take my breath away.
Well, what it is promises fulfilled. Because clear back to Abraham, when it began, when God said, Abraham, look outside, see the stars, look at the dust on the ground, all of this, your descendants are going to be more than that. You're going to have your own territory, a promised land. And so these were promises, and this miracle in the Jordan River and the one 40 years before in the Red Sea were reminders of the power of God and Him perfecting His promise. And I've got to do this song because it is so perfect for right now, by Chris Tomlin, Yes and Amen. And it is about how God does fulfill His promises to us. Let this encourage you. Love this song, Yes and Amen. One of my favorites. One of the 300 favorite songs of mine, I think.
Faithful, you are my heart.
my God. Woo! Forever you will be. All your promises are yes and amen. This was a promise. Back to Abraham. Yes, you're going to have a promised land. Yes, you're going to have a land for your people. And yes, I'm going to bless your people abundantly. And here they are, so close. In fact, as they cross the Jordan River, they cross into the promised land. That's what happens. That's what happens. They cross into the Jordan. And I mean, as they cross the Jordan River, they're crossing into the promised land. Woo, talk to us about that, Betty, will you?
Well, that's, you know, it took them, you know, X amount of years to even get there.
40 years. But 40 years.
40 years. And it was, you know, it was a struggle.
Yeah.
And once they reached that place, again, it fulfilled a promise.
It did.
That God was going to take them out of the Egypt and take them to the promised land.
Yes.
But a lot of times, you know, what they went through was a growing process.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, at various times, you know, they became rebellious. They became more than enough to handle. More than enough to handle. And it all boils down to is that what God says he's going to do, he will do.
He will do.
And that, you know, there are, I forget how many promises, you've told us this before, but I forget how many promises that God has promised us throughout the, you know, throughout the Bible. And he's true. He's always right on.
Yes.
His timing is impeccable. And so we have to trust him. And I think that once they got to the promised land, they, you know, they built the stone memorial.
Right.
Is that it was a turning point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For them. And even for Joshua. And we know what God says he's again, I'm going to repeat it. What God says he's going to do, he will do. You can bet your life on that one. Because
amen.
Everything in that Bible, everything in the good book is true. And that's something that we have to have faith and believe in, is that, you know, God is, again, if God be for us, who can be against us, Pastor and Megan?
Exactly. Well, these people had to have faith. You know, they walked across. They could have thought, oh, what if I get in the middle of the Jordan and all of a sudden the water comes back? But they had to have faith, and their faith grew as they saw the miracle. Faith believes without understanding why sometimes, okay? In this case, it was pretty obvious the why. They had to get across that Jordan River in order to begin to conquer the land and take the promised land that they had been told all those years it was theirs and they would have someday. Now, so let's look at Joshua chapter 5, because after they're across there and they put that memorial up and all of that, well, actually, let's start with verse 23 of Joshua 4. Your God, this is what Joshua is saying, dried up the Jordan's waters for you until you had crossed, just as God, your God, did at the Red Sea, which had dried up before us until we had crossed. This was so that, and I love this verse, so that everybody on earth would recognize how strong God's rescuing hand is, and so that you would hold God in solemn reverence always. With God, all things are possible. Jesus said that in Matthew 19:26. It in Jeremiah 32, is anything too hard for God? And the answer is no. And so, people, one of the goals of our show week after week after week in our 12th year now is this. We are all about teaching the Word of God in such a way that your faith increases. Talk to us about this, Megan.
Well, faith increases as you move forward.
True.
Just like they did through the Jordan. And as you're walking forward, when you see the hand of God move in a situation,
right,
that's where your faith takes a leap.
Right.
That's where, you know, your tank may be cruising on empty, but your tank moves up a tick. You have some fuel get into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have had that in my life, especially when we watched Grayson be born and right. watch the things that transpired from that situation. But even though through the death of a child, my faith abounded greater than it ever did before.
I know. I'm witness to that. It did, Megan.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And the reason it did is because I can rest knowing that my son is in heaven.
Amen.
And that there's no greater babysitter than our Heavenly Father to take care of that boy.
Oh, yes, that's true.
That's how I can walk the walk that I walk. That's yeah. where my faith comes from, because I know that even though I have bouts of grief, and even though that I have a longing in my heart to hold that little man, is that I know that I will see him again.
Absolutely.
And that even just that little thing, and even in those moments of grief, that's what keeps me moving.
Sure.
That's what keeps me marching. And, you know,
it's that blessed hope.
Amen.
Yeah.
And in through any situation, just you got to learn to lay back into the arms of the Father and let him show off for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wants to do. He wants
yes.
to show you
yes.
how big his love is for you.
Ooh, yes.
Just like he did for those people when he parted the waters and they marched across safely.
Absolutely. And so you have the children of Israel that come out of Egypt. And I want to bring up a point that is so amazing to me. Because the children of Israel coming out of Egypt were rebellious, as we all know. Back to the book of Exodus, and we can see stories of their rebellion, the building of the golden calf, not trusting God. So they were allowed to walk in the wilderness for exactly 40 years. Now, that I know because it says so right here in God's word. And when we go back to the book of Exodus and we go to chapter 12 and verse 40, this is a real faith builder for me, and it always has been, that this is when the first Passover happened. And it was when God said to Moses, okay, tonight you're going to have everybody kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorposts, and this is going to be your first Passover, and here's how you're going to cook the lamb and the bread and so forth. In Exodus chapter 12, 40, the Israelites had lived in Egypt 430 years. This is an exact amount of time. You say, why is that so important? Numbers are important in the word of God. The number 4 is always talks about worldwide evangelism. And we know that the story of the Exodus of Moses, the children of Israel leaving Egypt, that's something that a lot of people around the world know, that story. The number 30 is the number for God's anointing. So 430 years. And it says here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, at the end of the 430 years to the very day. To the very day. That talks about precision. God's timing. It talks about God's intentionality. 430 years to the very day, then God's army left Egypt, which is the children of Israel. And he watched over them and brought them out of Egypt. And then they got into that place where they began to walk around the same mountain for 40 years. What does that do for you, Betty, to know that this was so precisely timed by God? It wasn't one of those things of, well, someday I'll get around to delivering the children of Israel. No, this was precise. It was a defining moment.
Well, that's exactly what it was, is that God's perfect timing. God's timing is so far above what we can ever think or imagine, is knowing that, you know, at that certain point in time, that when they crossed the Jordan, that was again another miracle. And if you look back and you read through the Old Testament, through the time that they left Egypt up until they crossed the Jordan, is that, you know, God performed miracle with the manna. I mean, he
absolutely
performed miracle
yes
after miracle.
He sure
after
did
miracle.
Yeah,
but somehow, some way, it kind of went to the back of their minds
right.
of how many things that God has brought them through,
And but yet they continued to go on and to seek his all of his promises.
Right.
And, you know, Joshua was a strong leader.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the ability to do things that maybe Moses couldn't have, and he took over. But it just, it never ceases to amaze me, God's timing.
Oh.
I mean, just like with, you know, our move up here to Michigan, is that things just fell into place.
It sure did.
There was no lacking. There was no, you know, yeah, it hurt, but, you know, God says, you know, go. And his promises are still occurring today. Just like they did back in biblical times, people, we just have to have faith. We've got to depend on God more of him and less of us.
Oh, amen.
And it's kind of what the Israelites had to do too, is that they had to take themselves out of the picture,
yeah,
put God at the forefront of their life, and watch what he can do. And it's difficult, though, sometimes, Pastor and Megan, you know that, even in our own lives, there are storms that you think, you know, the bow's going to give out, the stern's going to give out. But, you know, we still stand strong because we have a God who walked on water. We
yes.
had a God who took, I mean, I forget how many people, how many Israelites they took out of Egypt.
3 million,
of how he got them through.
Yeah.
And they still, you know, even when they crossed, it's like, you know, wow. And I can't imagine, if you've ever seen the Jordan River, to know how vast it is.
Right.
That to me just, all the things that he did in the Old Testament and in the New, that still blows me away.
Oh, me too.
Still blows me away that you can part the deepest part of the Jordan River and not get your foot wet. And people, that's what he can do for you.
Not one wet foot. God's defining moment. Listen to this song, and then we'll go to Megan here. Love this song. It's old, but I love it.
There comes a time in every heart, time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, set before me to take this love inside my heart for all the world to see. Oh, all of heaven celebrates when they hear someone say,
listen to those words. Your defining moment, dear listener.
Yeah, his amazing grace is such a mystery. Yeah, how in an instant it can make a life complete.
Wow. When you believe he's all you need, that's your defining moment, Megan. Defining moment. Talk to me about that, Megan.
Well, you know, to me, a defining moment is like what we're talking about today, about when God parted the sea, when he made a way for those people where they didn't see a way across. And a defining moment could be anything for you, where that you may be coming out from a bad situation and you see the Lord move in that situation, and he brings you out and brings you into peace, brings you out into victory, brings you out into his favor. Everybody's defining moment is different, but I can speak for mine, and that was when I had to let Grayson go, and that was very difficult. But the only thing I knew to do was surrender, because my little old self, I don't have control over life or death. He does. And I knew that that's what was coming, and I got down on my hands and knees and said, yes, Lord. And for me, that moment was like a different, like a veil was pulled off of my face, that I had a whole new view of our Father.
Right.
Because, you know, he related to me on a level that I didn't ever think that I would have to relate to him on. And I'm talking about God the Father, is that he watched his son die. And I did the same. And having that relatable moment changed my life forever.
Absolutely.
It really just showed me how much it hurt him to give us what he gave us, which was the ultimate sacrifice, his son, but that he could get down on that level with me, that he had experienced the same. And that amount of compassion is still, to me, is so overwhelming to just me, this little old me, that he cares for us that we can't even put words to it.
Exactly. I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Megan.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know it is still fresh. What, 4 years? Has it been four now?
It'll be five in April.
It'll be five in April. Okay, since Grayson passed away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every time you talk about that, which isn't that often, but when you do, I believe that there are audience members that are listening that's helping them deal with some of their struggles and hard times. And, you know, life is not what, a bowl of cherries or a box of chocolates or whatever.
That's right.
Maybe it is a box of chocolates, according to Forrest Gump. But, you know, so often we have difficult times. And the children of Israel walked around the same mountain for 40 years, people. And during that time, the unbelieving part of that nation, those people died off. So this was a new crew coming in. But during that time, God never let their shoes wear out. I love that verse in Deuteronomy. Their clothes did not get ragged. They didn't have any change of clothes. Their shoes did not wear out. God provided for them every day with fresh manna. Talk to me about that, Megan or Betty, as we approach the top of the hour again quickly already. But that just God's provision. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, it's one of those mind-boggling instances where you read it and you think, how can that happen? And he is a God who provides. He is a God who cares. He's a God who loves us. So if you have someone that loves you that much, he is going to take care of us. And, you know, in hearing, you know, what Megan had said about Grayson, is that he gave her what she needed. And he took it down to her level.
Right.
So that she could understand.
Yes.
And I never, you know, I've processed a lot of things over, you know, over these last almost 5 years. And I realized that God has not given us, has given us everything we need to survive. And one of the things that is through his word is that it seems like, you know, you're going through a hard time, if you, you know, you're going through a financial situation, or a couple of people have lost children through miscarriages, is that God has not left you. God cares for you. He loves you, and he wants to take care of you. And that's what he did with Megan, and that's what he did with our family. That's what he did when we moved, you know, from a location that we, you know, we'd been in for quite a while, and that we had to let go of some of the things that were material. But in looking back, it's so that we could focus and make God number one in our lives.
Right. Yeah.
That we wouldn't, and that's what the Israelites had to do, is they had to look forward to letting go of the idols, to letting go of the past, so that they could move forward. And that's what he does for each of us every day, Pastor and Megan,
yeah.
is helping us to let go of the past so that we can move forward. Now, the devil wants us to live in the past, but that's not what God wants for us. You go through a storm, there's going to be peace and calm, and that's what he wants for all of us, is that comfort, that peace that comes
Amen.
From knowing him.
Amen. And so often we get stuck in the middle of the storm or get stuck in the middle of the problem, and we feel like we cannot get out. There's no way of escape. God, I'm telling you, dear folks, God's timing is perfect. His intentionality is perfection in our lives. And what all he asks of us is for us to trust him. You know, the children of Israel had to trust as they scampered across the Jordan River on dry ground and nobody had a wet foot. But they had to trust that Almighty God was going to keep that water at bay. That they could, not that they were going to drown if they got halfway across. And I find it so amazing that in this instance, not in the Red Sea, but in this instance, the priests were in the middle of the Jordan, standing there with the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of Almighty God, the Ark of the Covenant that carried three things, the Ten Commandments that Moses had given, the Aaron's rod that budded, and also the jar of manna. And so they were reminded as they walked past the priest standing there with the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes God's presence, they were reminded of the power of God. And the top of that Ark of the Covenant was gold, and it was called the mercy seat. And that was a symbolic of God's mercy for us, and that God sits there full of mercy, sits on top of those items in the Ark of the Covenant that were more judgmental in some ways, like the Ten Commandments. And so here we go. Oh, I didn't realize how late it is. We got to get to the top of the hour right here. We'll go on with this in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Tell a friend, call a friend, say, hey, why don't you listen with me to part two today of Living the Good Life? Megan, real quick, tell us about our Thursday night show.
Well, Thursday night show, it starts at 6:05 every night. It's live. It's Go Yard. And Go Yard, it's a baseball term that stands for hitting a home run. And your show is a coaching show. It's about all of the things that we all deal with in life, but it gives you and Dr. Angel's perspective of how to handle it and how to deal with life situations and how to make it better than just the old blah, blah daily, you know, the daily humdrum things. It's personal advice. It's Dr. Angel giving her PhD, her information from that side and the aspect of that. And it's just something you guys need to turn into. And it's also, aren't you guys still doing interactive where people can call in or text
Absolutely.
In as well?
Calling yep. in 727-441-3000 or texting me directly to my phone as we're on the show live. And that number is 727-888-4171. So 727-888-4171 every Thursday night at 6:05, 6:06 p.m. right here on this same station. Life coaching show. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Dr. Angel and I just finished a series that we did over the last 4 weeks exploring our truth, and now we're starting a new series this Thursday night. We've already kind of roughed it out in conversation, and it's going to be powerful, so you don't want to miss it. I'm not going to tell you the name of it yet because we haven't named it. So that's coming up this Thursday night, so catch it. We appreciate our listeners. And as always, you can call in with questions right live on the air or text. Let's do the station ID, and then Betty, I'm going to ask you to talk about our prayer line, please. So that is getting a lot of use. Praise God. And here we go. Just a minute.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
All right, we are blessed to be on this station. The five stations of Tan Talk Radio Network, they are AM 1340, AM 1350, AM 1400, and two FM stations, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM in the Tampa Bay area. You can get the app, TuneIn Radio, and put in one of those FM stations, and that would be a good way to listen. But also globally, you can just listen if you will just go to your computer and go to